Un anno buio, number one.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and love and mercy. We thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for how you have been helping us in so many ways. Thank you for divine provisions we have received from you. Thank you for breakthroughs we experience every day. Thank you, Lord, for victories you have given unto us. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for changing us into your own divine nature. Thank you for your love that fills our hearts. Thank you for your strength in our souls and spirits and bodies. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the truth we know today, for it has set us free. It has made us free. And thank you for more of your truths you will reveal to us very soon. Even today, as we look into your word. Thank you, Father. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for what you are doing in us to make us better Christians. We thank you for the works of corrections and pruning that is going on in us so that we can bear fruits unto your kingdom. We thank you for the teachings we have been doing on this platform for some time now. We thank you because you have been using these messages and these truths to edify many, to help many, to deliver many, to heal many. Thank you, Father. We ask, Father, that as we would be having another moment of teaching, discussion, speak to us expressly by your Holy Spirit, far beyond our expectations. Let us be greatly blessed. Let us be strengthened in our inner man. Let us be edified. Thank you, Father, because we know you will do beyond our expectations. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Yeah, we're going to continue from where we stopped during the last class. And you should remember we have been dealing with a teaching series that says the need for believers' fellowship. Yeah, that is the theme we have been looking at. The need for believers' fellowship. Yeah, I want to try as much as possible to see if I can finish the remaining in this series today, or finish it today and next week, Tuesday. Yeah, because it's not much. It's not much that is left. Yeah, is not much that is left for us to conclude on the need for believers fellowship. Yeah, so let us quickly move on. We stopped at point he, which is united prayer, and the subtopic was reasons for believers fellowship. Reasons for believers fellowship. So under that subtopic, we stopped at point he, which is united prayer. So now another point is point F, which is having communion. Yeah, we come together as believers to have communion. Now, the communion here is talking about the breaking of bread, the holy communion that Jesus instructed us to do in remembrance of him. Yeah, and you can see that in Acts chapter 20 verse 7. In Acts chapter 20 verse 7, it says the disciples came together to break bread. Yeah, so I know there are some people who do this communion alone by themselves. They get the ingredients, and you know the ingredients for Holy Communion. The ingredients are the fruit of the vine, and then the unleavened bread. Yeah, fruit of the vine, and then the unleavened bread. Yeah, so some people try to get that juice, and then get unleavened bread, and then they do it at home. They do Holy Communion at home. Yeah, but that is not how it should be done according to the scriptures. Though there are times the Holy Spirit can lead you to prepare Holy Communion, bless it, and take it, you and your family, or you alone. Yeah, but the instruction in the Bible is for us to take it as fellowship. Yeah, so if it has been a long time you took Holy Communion, you should try to join or visit a living church where they take it. Yeah, when I say living church, I mean a church where God is, because they teach the right doctrines and they pattern their lifestyle according to the biblical truths. Yeah, that is what a living church is. So if it has been a long time you took Holy Communion, yeah, which is also known as the Lord's Supper, yeah, it is advisable that you look for a living church where they take it, or you attend when they will take it. It doesn't mean you have to join the church, But it's just that that part of the fellowship should not be neglected. That part where we come together and we break bread, on living bread, and then the fruit, the juice, or the wine, yeah, from the fruits, from the, I think it's grapefruit, or some people use some other stuff, yeah. So visit those kind of gathering and partake of the communion, yeah, because the Holy Communion as a way of strengthening the covenant. It has a way of strengthening the new covenant that was established in the blood of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus. Yeah, so apart from doing it to remember what Jesus did, which is a form of renewing our love for him, renew our commitment to him. Yeah, apart from doing it in remembrance of Jesus, it also has a way of strengthening the covenant of Jesus, which is sealed or which is established by his blood, by the blood he shed on the cross of Calvary. Yeah, so taking Holy Communion as a way of strengthening that covenant. For instance, if the kingdom of darkness, if they have enslaved someone in their realms, in the spirit world, there's a way they renew the covenant by which they enslave that person, because they walk by covenant. In the kingdom of darkness, they walk by initiation, they walk by covenant to enslave people, to put people in captivity. Yeah, so they understand that covenant needs to be renewed. That is why some people, they will say, I don't know, I have a spiritual husband. I don't know, I have spiritual wife, because I've not seen myself have sex in dreams, or the last time I had that kind of dreams is maybe 3 or 4 years ago, but now I am now having that kind of dreams. Yeah, or some we say, I have been delivered. I've done some prayers, I went to some deliverance programs, and I think I've been delivered. But why is it that after some years I've been delivered, I'm now saying the same thing again? Yeah, the point is that they were not delivered. Yeah. Yeah, they were not completely delivered. Maybe I should put it that way. But I believe incomplete deliverance is not deliverance. Yeah. So, but the spirit, the marine spirit, or the spiritual spouse, decided to take a break. When I mean take a break, meaning that decided not to come to renew the covenant. So every time they needed to renew the covenant, that is why the person will have sexual attacks in the dreams. Yeah, because the spirit came to renew the covenant in the body of that person. Yeah, in the body of that person. Yeah, so but the captivity is already sealed or already ongoing. Yeah, the captivity is already ongoing in their realms. I believe you understand. So the demon had to come and renew the covenant by attacking in the dream. And sometimes they renew the covenant by food in the dream. Yeah, by giving people food to eat in the dream. Yeah, and they might just do it for once, and then the next time they will come, maybe it will be after some months or some years. Yeah, so the reason why I'm citing this as an example is to show you how it is important to take Holy Communion frequently. Okay, someone is asking a question, how to receive a total deliverance. I will talk about that after the teaching. Yeah, so I just cite that as an example. Yeah. But my focus is on Holy Communion. Yeah, and how it renews and strengthens the covenant of Jesus Christ in our lives, or it strengthens our agreement or our bond with the covenant in the blood of Jesus, the covenant of Jesus Christ sealed by his blood. Yeah, so every time we take Holy Communion, the covenant gets stronger. And that is why some people, when they take Holy Communion, they get healed. Though Jesus didn't say, take it to get healed. He didn't say that. Yeah, he only said, do this in remembrance of me. Practice this Lord's Supper in remembrance of me. He didn't say take it to get healed. He didn't say take it to get delivered. But because it's a symbol of renewal of covenant, and it strengthens the covenant, or strengthens your place in the covenant. That is why some people get healed after they take Holy Communion. Some get delivered, some who have insanity, who have a mental problem, they get healed. And many testimonies like that. And that was after they took Holy Communion. Yeah, so, yeah, and you know why they get healed, because in the covenant of Jesus Christ, which is sealed by his blood, or established by his blood, covers your healing. That covenant covers your healing, it covers your deliverance, it covers many things, even your prosperity, victories, and all of that. Yeah, that is why you should take Holy Communion frequently. Now, let's move to another point. You know, we are dealing with reasons for fellowship. Reasons for fellowship. Another point is point G, which is meeting to discuss important matters. During fellowship, there is opportunity, or there is space to discuss important matters. For instance, in Acts chapter 15, verse 2 and verse 4, you will see how the brethren in the Gentile church, how they went to the apostles and the elders about an issue that was going on in that church. I've talked about that during one of the teachings. Yeah, and then they were able to solve that problem. Yeah, so and that is why I always give room for questions. Yeah, because fellowship is a place where we do justice to issues that are bothering the believers. Yeah, so every church should create a platform where people can pour out their mind about their Christian journey, how they have been faring in their spiritual walk with God. And those that are matured spiritually will be able to counsel them, teach them, and help them find solutions to the questions they have and to those issues that they go through. Of course, I know that there are some issues that believers cannot talk about publicly. Yeah, but there are some that can be discussed publicly. Yeah, which will not only help the person asking the question or the person raising the issue, it will also help every other people who are going through similar things. Yeah, so fellowship is also for discussions of important matters. Yeah, not discussion about politics, not discussion about worldly things, but discussion about the things of God's kingdom. Yeah, and about our walk with God. Yeah, so if you can see that usually I respond faster to questions on our platforms. Yeah, because I know how it can help strengthen a weak believer. Yeah, so if you are going through anything and you need matured believers to guide you, you should speak out. Yeah, you should speak out. Because if you remain in that state of confusion or deception, before you know it, you might backslide. You might fall from the faith. You might fall from your Christian journey. Yeah, and your state might be far worse than when you newly got born again. Yeah, or before you got born again. Your state can become worse, far worse than before you got born again. So that is why it's important that you share what you're going through on platforms where you know there are spiritually matured people who can assist you, yeah, by shining light into your darkness, shining the light they have into your darkness till that darkness disappears. Yeah, so And another scripture is in Acts chapter 20, verse 17-18. Yeah, it says the same thing. And then Acts chapter 21, verse 17-19. Yeah, it also confirms the same thing. So now let's move to another subtopic: reasons for fellowship. Okay, sorry. You can call these also reasons for fellowship. Yeah. But the subtopic, the title is holding meetings. Yeah, holding meetings. Of course, we come together to meet. So that's why we call it meetings. Yeah, so now when we come together, what do we do? So this subtopic is kind of trying to explain what we should do or what we do and how we should do what we do when we meet, when we come together as believers. So it's point number 3, and it is holding meetings. Holding meetings. Now, under that point, there is 3A. So when we come together, what do we do? Point A says everyone can contribute something. Everyone can contribute something. Now, when we say contribute, we are not only, or here I'm not referring to money. Yeah, that's not what I mean by contribute. Everyone can contribute something. Let us read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. Then you will understand what everyone can contribute when we hold meetings. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation? Let all things be done unto edifying. Yeah. Let all things be done unto edifying. So in this place, it's talking about contributing what you have learned from the Lord. Though Apostle Paul was trying to correct them that he's not against anyone sharing spiritual content during meetings. In fact, if you read that chapter, at the point he said everybody can prophesy in the meeting. Yeah, but his point is that it should be done orderly. It should be done orderly. Yeah. So Apostle Paul was not trying to say only some few kind of people should be sharing spiritual content during meetings, or should teach, or should preach. Now, when I mean teach, I don't mean that everybody should become the pastor, or everybody should become the the leader. Yeah, but everybody can share what they have learned from the Lord. Yeah, everybody can, they can speak what the Holy Spirit has revealed to them. They can speak it out. So whether they are male or female, whether they are a brother or a sister, yeah, there is room for contribution, or maybe I should say there should be room for contribution in fellowship. Yeah, so people should be able to share what they have learned from the Lord. They should be able to speak what they are receiving from the Lord, whether through revelation or through divine encounters or through the gift of prophecy or discerning of spirits or other gifts. They should be able to do what they feel the Spirit of God is leading them to do. So the platform should be opened in fellowship for that, not for competition. Yeah, because there is this spirit of competition that takes over believers. Competition is when you are trying to outshine others. You're trying to become better than others. Yeah, that's the spirit of competition. So whenever we give such platform, it is not for competition. It is for learning. And it is for growth. That was why Apostle Paul was saying in that verse that let all things be done unto edifying. At the latter part of that verse, 1 Corinthians 14:26, he said, let all things be done unto edifying. So meaning that we come together so that we all can be edified. Yeah, so both the person that is sharing spiritual things and the people that are receiving it, all of them are being edified together. Yeah. A lot of times I even learn from myself. When I'm ministering, people are learning and I also am learning. And then when others are ministering, I learn also. Yeah. So you might think church leaders, you might think they know everything. No, they don't. Except the ones that are proud, they might feel or they might put upon themselves that mindset that they know everything. But no one knows everything. So that is why the platform should be opened for everyone to share spiritual things and not for competition, but for learning and edification. Yeah. So the reason why some people don't share things on our platform is because they feel like why is people responding to this one, to this person's post, and then when I post something, nobody respond, nobody reacts, nobody say amen, nobody show any interest. Yeah, so when they did that once or twice and then nobody kind of reacted or responded to what they shared, they stopped. That is wrong. That is very wrong. When I started sharing spiritual things on the internet, many times people don't respond, but I did not stop. Yeah, people don't even like my post, they don't even comment, they don't even share. But that's not my target. What my target is, let them see it and let them read it. So which I know that they are seeing it and they are reading it. Yeah, and then you might want to ask, how do I know? I know because the Spirit of God in me confirms that these people are saying it and they are reading it. So I continued. Yeah. So later some of them came to me, they said they don't respond to my post, but they are following. Yeah. They come to my inbox to tell me that they don't used to like, don't used to comment, but they are following everything. In fact, they said they are always waiting for the next thing I will share. Yeah, so I think social media has a way of promoting the spirit of competition. Yeah, and you as a Christian, if you want to share things on social media, don't be captured by that spirit of competition or that spirit of seeking fame or recognition or attention. Yeah, whatever God has given to you, just put it on the platform God wants you to put it. And that is all. And when God gives another message or revelation, share it also on the platform. And that is also your focus should be, let them see. So you can pray and say, God, just make sure they see and that they obey the truth in the message. So the rest, whether they like or they comment, or they respond by saying amen, that should not be your problem. Yeah, you should not even bother about that. And the same thing applies to in church gatherings. I mean physical church gatherings. Yeah. So when there is platform, whether people respond, you just share what you believe God wants you to share and leave the rest to the Lord. Yeah, so that is how we should share spiritual things. That's the mind by which we should share spiritual things, not for recognition, not for fame, not for competition. Yeah, but for edification, for learning, so that people can learn, people can be edified. Yeah. I believe you get it. So if you have shared something on our platform before and then you feel like nobody responded and then you stop, that is wrong. So now you have to continue to share everything God has been teaching you, everything you have been learning from the Lord, everything that has changed your life. Share, in as much as it does not contradict the scriptures and then the standard we uphold in the ministry. Yeah, so that is it on that. Let's move to 3B, point D. What do we do when we hold meetings? We should be united and orderly during fellowship meetings. We should be united and orderly during fellowship meetings. In Acts chapter 4, verse 32, it says, "The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul." That is unity. So during meetings, we should be united. Not that some part of the people, they are fans of the pastor. Some other part, they are not fans of the pastor. Or some part, they love some of the leaders. Some other part don't love some of the leaders. Yeah, so it shouldn't be like that. So we should be of one soul and of one heart as the early church believers were. So let us be united. Sometimes we give directions and instructions on the platform, and maybe three people follow the direction. Maybe four or five people. Yeah, we say fast. Maybe four people fast. I mean, the weekly fastings we do, maybe just four people fasted today, for instance. Yeah, that means we are not united. Yeah, it means we are not of one heart and of one soul. So some people, they already have what they want in a church or in a ministry. So any other thing they do there, they don't care. If it is not what they want, they don't follow. Yeah, that is a wrong attitude. Yeah, so if they do what they want, yeah, maybe what they want is prayer point that has to do with prosperity and breakthroughs. Yeah, so every time they are doing prayer points like that, yes, they are active. I mean, they become very active and they become involved. They get involved. But when they are doing other things that the Bible commands, they don't want to have anything to do with that. That's a wrong attitude. And with that kind of attitude, you will miss a lot of divine visitations. There are some people who have testified that they got their breakthroughs during the fastings, weekly fastings we do. It is through those fastings they got their blessings, deliverance, prosperity, and all of that. They didn't get it during midnight prayer sessions. Yeah, so you don't know where exactly God is waiting to bless you. So that is why you have to follow everything. So after you have prayed midnight prayer sessions, or let me say, after you have partook of midnight prayer sessions, maybe your breakthrough is 40% loading. And God is and God, you know, or maybe, yeah, let's say God told the angel that release the complete breakthrough while he or she joins the weekly fast. Yeah, I don't know if you're getting the picture I'm trying to show you. Let's say you join midnight prayer session, and then the angel of the Lord gave you 40%. Maybe I should know. Let me put it this way. The operations, yeah, that will lead your breakthrough reach the level of 40%. So the operation, the divine operation, or the angelic operation, must reach 100% before you will see the physical breakthrough. Yeah, but then you join prayer session, and then you feel like it is done, but it was 40%. That prayer session could only give you 40%. In fact, sometimes maybe 20%. And then God wants you to still pray over the session again and again. And then the same angel God has assigned for your breakthrough is waiting for you to join Tuesday fasting, Friday fasting, so that it would become 100%. I don't know if I'm getting the point. Yeah. So, but then some people, they just pray Some people pray and they feel like that is enough. Who said that? Who said it is enough? Yeah. You have to do everything. When you need mercy from God, you have to do everything in your strength that you can do so that God will do the rest. So, but if you have not done all, God might not act, He might not take action. So that is why everything they do in any ministry, God has placed you. I believe it is God who placed you in this ministry. I am not a leader that holds people. Yeah. I don't tie people down and say, you have to stay here. No. That's why people leave, people come in, people go. Yeah. So if anyone is in this ministry, I believe it is God who have placed you here, and it is God that still wanted to be here. You probably could have left. Yeah. So my point is that if God has placed you in any ministry, make sure you are involved in everything God has commanded them to do in that ministry. I mean everything. If you feel like you are not strong enough, ask God for strength. If God places you in that ministry, it means there is strength for you to be part of everything they do. There is strength in Christ for you. So ask God for strength. It is important so that you will not miss God's blessings and God's visitations. I know what I'm talking about. There are few people who have testified because they devoted all their time and all their minds to everything we do in the ministry, and they saw their lives turn around. Yeah, and these people I'm talking about, they are among us. Yeah. So God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And God cannot be mocked. It is what you sow that you will reap. Yeah, and not only that, your heart must be true to the doctrines in the church you belong, in the fellowship you belong, in the ministry you belong. Yeah, so you have to follow what God has given the leaders to teach you. Yeah, not that you show it publicly that you are in agreement, but privately in your own space where nobody sees you, you do something else. That is not how fellowship should be, or that is not how our lives as believers should be. Now, let us continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 and 40. It says, in all churches of the saints, let all things be done decently and in order. Yeah, let all things be done decently and in order. So when we are holding meetings, there should be order. There should be decency. Some churches, you will just see some people jump up and cry out, and some will even carry, they will jump up and carry up the shears and start rolling. I mean, as if it's a clubhouse, as if it's a secular gathering. Yeah, I'm not saying it is wrong to show your excitement in church, But it has to be orderly. We have to give respect to God's presence. Yeah. So the God's presence is not where we can just behave anyhow. So there must be respect. It can be a WhatsApp group, but God is there. Yeah. It's not just an ordinary WhatsApp group, or it might be a Telegram group, but God is there. So anywhere believers come together to do spiritual things, God is there and the angels are there watching. Yeah, it doesn't matter how that meeting is held or is being held. Yeah, whether in a physical building, whether in online platform, God is there. So respect and honor must be given to God. Yeah. So we must behave orderly during fellowship meetings. Some people, while the minister is preaching, they will just be walking around, stand up from the chair, walk around, go outside, come in again, go out, coming again. That is wrong. Some will be gisting, talking. The message is going on, they are talking another thing, you know, in the congregation. So, or some will be browsing the internet while the message is going on. Yeah, some will be going out to receive phone calls why preaching is going on. So all those attitude is wrong. Yeah, is out of order, is wrong. Yeah, there are times you get excited in the Holy Spirit. I know about that. And then you can shout. But not the other excitement that is not inspired by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, some excitement are just sensual. They are carnal. They are not inspired by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, and when spiritually mature people see those kind of manifestations, they know. Yeah, I know when your shouting is from the Holy Spirit, and I know when it is from your emotions. If I see, I will know. Yeah, so because when we are teaching about this orderliness, when we say it's the Holy Ghost moving, don't try to control the Holy Ghost. Many times, it's not the Holy Ghost moving. Yeah, it is people just trying to think they can behave anyhow in God's presence. Let me move to the next point. Yeah, now another point C under holding meetings. What do we do when we hold meetings as believers, or when we are in meetings, is united singing during fellowship. United singing during fellowship. In Ezra chapter 3 verse 11, it says they sang together, praising and giving thanks. Ezra 3 verse 11. So when we are in meetings as believers, we should sing in unity. Yeah. We should sing in unity. Except if you don't know the song. If you know the song, if you have learned the song, even if you don't know the song, you can learn it during the process. Now, thank God for some big churches where, as the choir is singing, the wording, the wordings of the song is being displayed on a screen. Yeah, on a screen at the top of the altar or wherever they position the TV. Yeah, so thank God for those kind of churches. Yeah, so if, even if you don't know the song, you can learn the song in the process and join. There is power in united singing. Yeah, not that when they are singing, you are just looking. Some people, even when they are praying, they will not talk. I don't know how God will change your life when you cannot talk. You cannot open your mouth and speak out during prayer. I don't know how God will visit you. Why? Because the Bible says that, I forgot how the Bible says it, but this is what that verse is saying. The verse is saying that victory is in the midst of a shout. Yeah, that there is victory in the midst of a shout. In the midst of people shouting for joy, shouting in praise, shouting in prayer. So when people shout, there is victory in shouting. I can look for that verse and share later. Yeah, so meaning that if you don't shout, you might not have victory. Yeah, I'm talking about in fellowship. Sometimes you might be praying on your own, you might not need to shout. But during fellowship, during prayer, you have to speak out. You just have to speak out. So even if you don't know the song, learn it. And then join and start singing. Yeah, there is power in united singing. When everyone sing the song with one mind and with one voice, and then with same faith. Yeah, and with full focus. Because some people, they are singing, but their mind is not with the song. They are distracted while singing worship. That worship or that singing cannot be powerful. So, but when you are singing and your mind is in the song, your mind is with the song, your mind is following the song, that is when it becomes powerful. Yeah, so these are practical ways by which we see God's power manifest in our midst. Yeah, in our midst, and change our lives. There is no, I'll put it now. There is no barrier to the manifestation of God's power when Christians come together. If there is a barrier, it is what we created. It is a barrier we created. Yeah. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. There is no barrier, no limitation to the manifestation of God's power whenever believers come together in fellowship. But if there happens to be a barrier, it is not from God. It is from us. It is not God's fault. It is our fault. So if we can follow these simple instructions that I've been talking about and worship correctly, worship in unity, sing in unity, and many other things we have talked about concerning fellowship, I'm sure you will see God's power in your life. There are sometimes I would just sit down and be reflecting on the goodness of God in my life. And I'll just remember that, oh, this miracle is as a result of the prayer we prayed when I was with some fellowship brethren. Yeah, and these people we prayed together, they were not thousands of congregation. They were just some few, maybe we were just four or five. But we prayed in unity. We prayed with faith. This is not about anointing. I'm talking about we prayed and God blessed every one of us in that place. I mean, every one of us who were part of that fellowship, they were all blessed. Not that God was using somebody for somebody. We just came together and we start praying. And that is it. And because we did it correctly, eventually, every one of us had our prayers answered. So when I sat down and began to reflect on what God did in my life eventually, I now realized that it was a prayer we prayed, I and some brethren, and just very few. This was not a big church. It was not a big church. It was not some big group of large number of people. No, it was just some few people who trust God, who have faith, and follow this principle of fellowship and meetings. And then God began to answer our prayers eventually. Though not that day, not even that month, but after a while we saw answers to prayers we prayed then. I don't know if you are getting the point. So the point is that there is no limit to the manifestations of God's power when believers come together to pray. If there is any limit, it is we that caused it. It is the limit we place on those meetings. Not a limit from God, not a barrier from God. I pray God will give you understanding, of these things we are talking about. So we're going to stop here because of time. We'll continue from this point C under holding meetings. We'll continue from here next week. So let me quickly answer the question that I have here. Yeah, there's a question here. It says, how do you receive a total deliverance? How to maintain total deliverance? Yeah, how do you receive a total deliverance? How to maintain a total deliverance? All right. There was a time I shared on the platform what God told me about deliverance, and I'm going to repeat it now. God told me, He said the greatest deliverance is not to cast out devils. That the greatest deliverance is to shut the door by which the devils come in. I'm going to repeat myself. The greatest deliverance is not casting out devils. I'm not saying casting out devils is not deliverance, but is not complete. Yeah. But complete deliverance is in closing the door by which the devils come in, or by which the captivities happen. Yeah. So, and we can confirm this in the scripture where Jesus said that. He said when an evil spirit is gone out of a man, the evil spirit will roam about and walk around looking for a good place. And if the evil spirit cannot find a good place to stay, that the evil spirit will now come back to check its former habitation, to check if that place is still empty, if that place is still open. And then Jesus said that evil spirit will look for some seven more powerful demons, and they will come back and possess the person again. And Jesus said that the very serious issue here. Now, I mean, when I read that part, I become concerned about the way we do deliverance ministry today. Yeah, so Jesus said when the evil spirit comes back and see that place is still well furnished for the spirit, for that demon to stay, the demon we now gather seven more powerful spirits together with himself to take possession of that person. And the state of that person will now become worse than it were when the first deliverance took place. So, and then you might ask the question, why does the spirit want to go and gather more other demons? It's because the spirit does not want to come out again. So it's more or less like spiritual reinforcement. So the demon went after other demons because the demon don't want to be cast out again. So that is why people who have been going through deliverance sessions, they end up doing it all their lifetime, because they have not dealt with the roots of the captivity. And you can ask me that, what is the roots of demonic captivities? It is two things: sin and the sinful nature. Sin and the sinful nature. The sinful nature is your flesh, the flesh, the Adamic nature, the nature you were born with into this world. Those two things. It is not your father's, it is not the witches in your father's house that is the root of demonic captivity. No. It is not the darkness in your mother's house. It is not some ancestral curses and covenants. Before, I used to believe that. But thank God he delivered me from deception. So it is not all those ancestral causes, ancestral covenants, ancestral witchcraft. It is not, those are not the roots. The root is sin and the sinful nature, which is the flesh. Those are the roots of all demonic captivities, including marine spirits, including spiritual husband, spiritual wife, and all of that. Yeah, so if you can overcome those two things, then you can now come to me and, not even, you don't need to come to me. Just start praying some of our prayers. Just start praying with many of our prayer points we do in the ministry, all those deliverance prayer points. Just pray them. Before you pray them for like, maybe for a week or 2 weeks, you'll be completely delivered. Yeah. All the deliverance prayer points we used to pray, after you have dealt with sin and sinful nature, then just pray all those prophetic prayers we used to pray on deliverance. You are free. I can guarantee that you are free. Yeah. It's coupled with fasting. Yeah. And then how do you maintain deliverance? Stay away from sin and don't yield to your sinful nature. Every hour, don't yield to the sinful nature. Don't allow the flesh control you. Always be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So practical, but Many people don't want to do that. So that is why when we are leading prayer sessions, everyone wants to fall down. Or why must you keep falling down and keep manifesting demons? People like us, we have grown beyond that. Because if you fall down and I discover that the demon has not gone, I will wake you up and say, stand up, pray. Yeah, because I don't believe you when you fall down that the demon has gone. I don't believe that. Yeah. Or I don't believe when you manifest that the demon has gone. I believe the demon has gone until you overcome sin and the sinful nature. Because otherwise, you will keep falling down when they are doing deliverance prayer session. You will keep manifesting. And that is a disgrace to the kingdom of God, that you keep manifesting the same spirit, the same marine spirit you manifested during... sorry, I'm speaking in a very raw language. I'm speaking with a very raw language, but that is how the situation of the church has become. Yeah, because the same demon a believer manifests in today's program is the same demon the person manifests in maybe another program 2 weeks after, and the same demon a few months after. That is a disgrace, is an insult to the kingdom of God. Yeah, so I hope you get the point. So if we want complete deliverance, we must defeat those two things I've mentioned. Yeah, so that is it. We are going to stop here. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because you are a faithful God. Thank you for how you have opened our eyes to practical things we should do in fellowship. Thank you for showing us how we can tap into your power if we can follow the biblical teachings concerning fellowship and meetings. Thank you, Father. I pray, oh God, that everyone who have listened to this teaching and are willing to repent and amend their ways in several ways they felt guilty, Lord, grace to amend their ways. Father, give unto them in Jesus' name. I pray for you that grace to live in perfect alignment with all that the Word of God teaches. Receive that grace now in Jesus' name. And I pray that grace for you to teach others, including your children, your family, the ways of God. Not that you just look at them, you look at the people in your family living in darkness, and then you are not doing anything, you are not saying anything. I pray for you that the grace not to keep quiet, the grace to open your mouth and teach the truth that you have learned, both here and in many other places. Receive that grace now in Jesus' name. The grace to speak against sin, even in the midst of any fellowship you find yourself, whatever they are doing there that is wrong, the grace to verbally speak against them and correct the people. Receive that grace now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Yeah, remember, there is always room for questions in our platforms. And even if I don't respond immediately, it wouldn't be long before I respond. So if you still have questions, you can always ask on the platform. Remain blessed. Amen.